Welcome to I'm Obsessed With This, the Netflix podcast about the shows and films everyone seems to be talking about and why. As usual, we will be having a spoiler-filled discussion of all titles, so check the time codes in the show notes just in case you'd like to skip those sections. I'm your host, Bobby Finger, and I'm joined in the studio today by Michael Blackman, breaking news reporter at BuzzFeed News, and Caroline Moss, author of Hey Ladies and the Work It Girl kids books. Hello, you two.
Hi.
We're all here.
We're all here.
We're having the best time.
Best day. It's so hot out right now.
Mm-hmm. It's very hot, so we're drinking cold drinks. I just finished my iced tea, so I don't have my cold drink with me.
How do you take your iced tea, Bobby?
Unsweetened.
Nice.
Yeah,
like unsweetened. Like an adult.
I want to talk about broadly. Mm-hmm. This show is called I'm Obsessed With This. Do you know where you are? Are we aware?
We're aware.
I'm Obsessed With This?
Yes. Yes.
So we like talking about shows that we are currently obsessed with because at Netflix, things are going on all the time. They come on, they come off. You're like, I'm watching this now, I'm watching this later. Like, da 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 da. Things are always changing. So I want to talk about what we are watching and we're loving right now. I will go first because I am the host. What am I currently watching? Nailed It. Mm. I'm on Nailed It right now. The new batch of episodes, which I've kind of like taken my time to get into. And last night I watched another one. I'm like, there are certain shows that you savor, you know, that you're like, because the first season of Nailed It, I watched in like a day. Finished it. This one, I'm like, I can't do that again.
Yeah.
So I watched almost the have you watched Nailed It? The most recent season?
Do you know what it's about?
I was going to ask, what's the appeal? What's the
Nailed It? Can I say what it's about,
too? No, you're the guest. Take it. I'm always here. Take it.
Take it. Okay, so it's basically a baking show sort of designed around the concept of like Pinterest fails.
Okay.
So they will give three home bakers, no one professional. And they'll show, I remember the first episode I watched, which I think was the first episode. It was like an engagement cake, but it was like a hand with a ring on it. And then the three people have to like recreate it. And it's actually, I mean, it looks so campy off the top, but it is so funny.
Okay.
Just because I think it's like, we're all in the trenches together. No one can make shit that looks like that. Mm-hmm. And the, Nicole Byer,
yeah.
So funny. Mm-hmm. The host is funny.
Nicole Byer is the host. And then her French sidekick is that French pastry chef whose name is like, Jacques Therese. That guy whose name is on like all the chocolate stuff.
You know? So the people who compete are not actually supposed to be good at this.
No.
The whole idea is that they're bad.
The whole idea is that like, let's see them do something completely embarrassing and terrible that will be a hilarious side by side. So they have like, here's what you needed to make. And it's like the one I watched last night was like a Jack in the Box with a clown popping out of it, but like an evil clown,
like a scary horrifying clown.
And then it's like, here's what you made. And it's just like,
it's just like a cake on the floor.
And then like, everything's bad.
It's really funny.
You watch it and you're like, this is sort of for children. Like, you're
it's definitely for 12-year-olds. Like, it's definitely like sixth grade sleepover and you're like peeing in your pants with your friends. You're like, this is the funniest thing I've ever
seen.
And yet, it's so good.
Funny. Like, I'm 30 and like, I like laugh my ass out
watching.
What else am I watching? I just realized that two movies I really like are on Netflix. They just got added. One of them is The Box. Have you seen The Box?
No.
Crazy. You know the movie Donnie Darko?
Yes.
Yes.
Same director, Richard Kelly, Cameron Diaz,
back
James
20
Marsden.
20 years later?
2009. It came out 10 years ago. No one saw it. Oh. It's Cameron Diaz.
Great.
It's set in the 70s, and it's about an old man. He comes to their door, and he's like, they're broke. They're like, broke as a joke, and they're like trying to live their middle class best lives, but like cannot. And this guy's like, hey, I'm mysterious. I have this box. If you push the button, you will get $1 million, but someone you don't know will die.
Wow.
Mm. And so they're like, do you want to push it? And so they're like, do we push it? And then they push it, and
yeah,
everything goes wrong.
Yeah, no, this is coming back
and
to me now.
Everything obviously
goes
fucking wrong. Yeah, everything falls apart.
It was like Deal or No Deal.
You got to watch it. It's like
with death.
Nuts. And then things sort of, it's one of those movies that just like spirals.
Mm-hmm.
Everything avalanches. What else? I need to rewatch that, and I need to rewatch Snowpiercer, which I've seen like 4 times already. But it's on, and I just noticed it again, and they're making it into a show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the show's going to be, but I love the movie so much.
Wow.
The director of Snowpiercer, Bong Joon-ho, just came out with a new movie that was at Cannes, and it won the top prize at Cannes.
Nice.
So like he's in the news. I'm thinking about him.
Yeah, so you have to kind of circle back.
Yeah. So
was that the same director of Burning?
No, different guy.
Okay.
Different guy. But I still haven't seen Burning, which is on Netflix.
Yeah, it's really good.
Steven Yeun's in Burning, right?
Yes.
Everyone's obsessed with his like character.
It's
have you seen Burning?
Good.
No.
Caroline's like,
you're gonna know
your
why.
Eyes are narrowed. You're like, I have no
I'm
idea.
I'm like, should I pretend that I'm sophisticated?
What's next? Michael, what are you watching? What are you obsessed with?
What am I obsessed with? Well, I just finished Mad Men, which is on Netflix.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just watched all 7 seasons like over the course of
For the first
maybe,
time?
No, I watched it again like over the course of 2 months.
Oh, okay.
Because I was telling Bobby earlier, like I just like come home and I just like to have like a show to watch like very slowly. So I've been watching Mad Men. I'm really in love with the characters and like I really think that part of me watches it because, like, it reminds me of, like, old BuzzFeed in some ways, just, aww, like, the different changes that the company has been through.
Right.
But also, I
Don
feel
Draper
like...
Don Draper must unionize.
Well, yeah, Don Draper must unionize. But also, like, I feel like it takes me inside the world of, like, white people, and I'm just like, this is how they act when, like, there are no people of color around, or sometimes when people of color around. And I don't know, it's just, like, a very fascinating show, and I really think the characters are, like, so fleshed out and, like, really, really interesting, and I find something that I like more about it each time. Like, I really fucking love Joan. Like, she's such a great character.
That's Christina Hendricks.
Yeah, that's Christina Hendricks.
I've never seen that.
I was just gonna say, I just started it this week for the first time ever.
Oh my
god. So now
gosh.
We need to talk.
I literally used to even I was in advertising for a long time. I was in advertising before I pivoted to whatever I do now. I worked on Madness. I was a madman. Yeah. And I've never seen the show.
It's about you.
You just have no interest.
I was going to say Mona Lisa Smile is back on Netflix.
Oh, Mona Lisa Smile,
which
yeah.
Which circles back. And so, well, a thing about me and how I enjoy my entertainment is that it's very hard for me to sit down and watch a new show because I am constantly, like, doing things. Mm-hmm. So, like, I use the TV as, like, white noise because music will distract me and then put me to sleep. So, also, when I drive, I put on shows that I already know.
What, you put on shows? Oh, wait, I've actually been in the car with you
yes.
when you were very unsafely watching a made-for-TV movie.
Oh no, that was for you.
You were watching a TV show in the car.
No.
It was you were listening to it. You were listening to it. The audio was playing
Slander.
Through the speakers.
Okay.
The audio was playing through the speakers.
I listened to it. Yeah.
And you treat some things as audiobooks. Like you treat
visual
media as
okay.
audiobooks.
Everything almost because so and what the great thing about Netflix is that you can play it and then put back on your maps so that you can get directions. And then you like put back, you know, you slide your panel down, you press play, and it'll play and you don't actually have to have the video up.
That's great.
Hulu does not do that. And if Hulu is listening, they should do that. So I like
wow, another great thing
that
you can use Netflix,
as
audiobooks.
As like podcasts. So that was so funny.
It's wild.
Anyway, get into that later. But so a lot of, so Mad Men is the first time in a long time that I've sat down and watched a
you're
new
like,
show.
Like there are pictures?
I don't need it. There are movies that I have heard so many times that if I actually sat down and watched it, I'd be like, I've never seen, like, I never knew that this was happening during this.
Yeah.
You probably
it's
can quote a
thing.
Lot of things now.
Oh, yeah. No. Just like... And I watched, like, the same things over and over. It's very strange. I started doing this when I was driving to college back and forth because I was noticing that the music, like, rhythms of music were, like, kind of like making me zone out, so I would just like put on episodes of Desperate Housewives.
Just listen to it.
So now if I'm ever driving in Western Massachusetts, it's like a tick in me that has to like put on an episode of Desperate Housewives and go to McDonald's.
I'm completely blown away by
how
this.
Are you
I
blown away? You were in
it.
My car like a
no,
month ago
I know, but
when
I didn't,
put on a video.
I guess I didn't know that it was a regular thing.
It's very weird. Like Dan is very, my husband's very used to this, but when other people are in the car and I like slip and I'm like, can you just put on an episode of The Office? Everyone's like, what? but I think people come, you know, come around to it. So anyway, Mad Men is, I'm actually sitting and watching it, which has been great.
So a lot of times whenever we're planning these episodes, like we look up like Twitter reactions
yeah.
and then like try to find like what people are saying. And then like that helps us find guests as well because we want to find like earnest reactions. And Michael, your tweet led us to you whenever you showed that polar bear sex line followed by the iconic like Jasmine Masters and I oop meme.
Yes.
I know that.
You know the meme?
Yeah. That's what that's from. Okay.
Are you a fan of Black Mirror generally? You were a fan of Black Mirror. You watched it before.
Yes, I watched it before. Black Mirror was like one of those shows where I saw people talking about it online because I think the first episode that I watched was there was a politician and he was essentially forced to have sex with a pig.
With a pig, yeah.
And once I saw that's how crazy the show could get, I was like, okay, well, I'm in and I have to watch it. And ever since then, like, I've been someone who's been like super gung-ho about like watching the show whenever it like premieres. So, but like with this one, I was a little bit late, but I think there's just I've been so busy lately. Yeah. But I really am like a huge Black Mirror fan.
Did you watch Bandersnatch?
I did watch Bandersnatch.
Did you get any good endings?
I did not. I actually didn't like that as much because I'm just like, just play. I don't want to choose my own.
Yeah, you would hate Bandersnatch because you have to watch and choose. You have to make decisions the whole time.
That's too much.
You have to make
decisions.
It's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. I did too. I wasn't.
It's very interesting to me that you guys refer. Well, I guess like the nature of the show is that you know the names of the episode. Like that means something. That's meaningful.
Yeah, they're all sort of individual. They're like kind of little mini. They're short stories essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like my favorite, I would say, is the same as everyone else.
San Junipero.
Yeah. But I am very partial to the Nosedive episode as well, just because I feel like I think everyone is addicted to social media, especially people like within like news media and stuff like that. But I could see like myself becoming Bryce Dallas Howard and just like going off the deep end and being like, I always want people to like me. How do I get people? You know, like, yeah. I could just see myself becoming that person. Yeah. It's a really, really good episode.
Compared to those two, what did you think of Striking Vipers?
Striking Vipers, I would say, was a good episode. It wasn't, like, the strongest that the series has to offer, but I still thought it was, like, entertaining enough. Mm-hmm. It was, like, one of those shows that, like, I was watching it, and it's, like, it just slowly reveals itself.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for something like big and crazy to happen. And then like once I saw what the stakes actually were, I was like, okay, well, this is fine.
Black Mirror has a tendency to like actually sink me into like not depression, but like just like a moment of like deep unhappiness. Like, cause it's so
that's
dark.
That's definitely what you want out it's of the so shows dark. That you watch on television.
It's so dark, but I think that that's sort of like a reflection. Like that's if anything, a compliment to it being an effective sort of like, I don't know, satire or commentary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an exhausting show to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And
do
I
feel like you have to be in a specific mood,
yeah,
mindset.
Yeah. But this one really did feel like a weird romantic character study about like what goes on to a... So let me just set the scene.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is about a married couple played by Anthony Mackie and Nicole Beharie. And they, at the beginning of the episode, live with his friend, Anthony's friend, Carl, who's played by Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. And they're friends and, you know, the girlfriend sleeps in at the beginning of the episode, or she goes to sleep and he stays up playing Striking Vipers with his friend. They're up all night playing this, you know, Street Fighter-y game. Cut to 10 years later, they're married, and the roommate is somewhere else, and it's Anthony Mackie's birthday party, and he brings him over a new video game. It's the newest installment of Striking Vipers, but it's 10 years later, so technology has improved. You can put a little thingy on your temple and you actually VR the game. You know, you're in the game. And so they start playing this together. He plays this like male character. The friend plays this female character. And instead of fighting, they just have sex in the game.
Oh.
Okay. They have sex in the game. Is that an emotional affair? Is that a physical affair? What is this? Is it porn? Is it sex? Like, you kind of go into it thinking like, is this about queerness? Is this about gayness? Is this about being closeted? Like, what is this? But ultimately, I mean, I want to know what you think about this. It's sort of about honesty more than anything. It's just about, because by the end, they do, they're, once they're open with each other, that's kind of how we're left.
Mm-hmm.
They've finally decided to be honest about each other, and they've reached this happy question mark compromise, but it's like, is it happy? And I feel like that's a common thing in Black Mirror. Like, even if it's happy, it's never really happy.
Yeah,
you know, there's something a little sad, something dark about the entire thing. What was your takeaway from the episode?
That's like a hard question.
It's hard.
But I guess my takeaway was that I was satisfied with the ending. Like, I do, like you were saying earlier, like, is this I guess like emotional sort of infidelity? That's mm-hmm. what I felt like it was. Mm-hmm. Because Anthony Mackie's character was very afraid of like telling his wife that like, hey, this other thing is like going on, until like it got to the point where like he couldn't, like the friendship was sort of deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
And like he was like acting very crazy, and like he was probably going to like lose his wife if like it went any further. I feel like I liked it because I felt like it showed like the complexity of like what a marriage or just like a general relationship could be, because like ultimately, like, I think that you do get like tired of like doing like the same old things, like the same old positions, and like sometimes doing like with the same person, like mm-hmm. even though you can like deeply care for them. And I think that at the end, like they both, well, all three parties involved found like a happy sort of medium. And mm-hmm. that to me seemed like a really good ending.
I think we're conditioned to think that this sort of story ends with a complete tragedy at the end, you know, where everyone's mm-hmm. life is ruined. Someone gets hurt and or dead, you know, mm-hmm. like, almost in another story, that fight that they have in the rain would have resulted in, you know, one of them dying, like hitting their head. I kept thinking he was going to die.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's going to die, or like Anthony Mackie's going to kill his friend, like, or the other way around. And then it was a catalyst for them to be open with each
yeah.
other.
There is no resolution. It's just like the complexity of being human.
Yeah. And I think, and one thing I was sort of disappointed by, which is sort of an unfair thing, like I thought it was going to be a little gayer.
Yes.
I was like, this is going to be gayer. And then like there's a moment yes. where they realize they've been having sex so much in the game
uh-huh.
that this moment in the rain, he's like, we need to kiss because I need to know if I am attracted to you or if I'm attracted to you in the game. Because in the game, it's this heterosexual, like straight, like relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life, so it's like, what's happening? And they kiss, and then they realize there's nothing there.
Okay.
But then which doesn't make that much sense.
I was sort of like, come on.
Yeah. Like, how is there not an emotional connection with real life if in the virtual game, this person who clearly turns you on in the game, no one else can replace this person?
Yeah.
You know, like, only with him can you have, like, this amazing orgasm. Like, only with him have you had, like, the most amazing sex ever. But, like, in real life, there's nothing? Mm-hmm. That just seems very weird to me.
Oh, well, that it's sort a little of strange. Adds another layer to it.
It's sort of strange. And so it's, and so, like, just because I'm, like, desperate for everything to be gay, I was like, come on. But then you think about, like, mm-hmm. the guy who wrote it, Charlie Brooker, I believe is straight. So part of me was like, well, obviously that's where he's going to end up.
Sure.
Like, because, like, that's his journey. But I was still a little disappointed, though I did like that it was still progressive in the sense that, like, it didn't end the relationship at the end of it. Once
sure.
the wife found out about it,
right.
they decide on your birthday, you can have sex with your friend in the game, and then I'm going to go to the bar and then fuck someone else at the bar, the wife. You can tell there's something that she gets out of it that she can't mm-hmm. get from, like, she gets something about meeting someone new and then, like, having a little
yep.
fling that she can't get from the husband.
That's
and
like
the husband,
her thing.
That the husband gets something out of the video game that he can't get from her. And that's their compromise at the end
okay.
of the thing.
Is it yeah. supposed to normalize this idea that, like, you can have sex with your friends on video games and, like, it can be a thing you talk about with your spouse if that's a thing you need?
I think he even said it's more about porn. I shared some stories with the two of you from, like, Atlanta Media Response. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to see, like, depending on who you are is how you are going to read it. Like, queer black men are like, this is about the relationship between
yes.
queer black men. Like, black women were like, a straight black woman was like, this is my experience with, like, down low black men. And then, like, just gay men are like, oh, this is about closeted men. But then straight people are like, this is my husband watching porn. And Charlie Brooker is like, this is about porn.
Sure.
And so he said, I just want to read this quote. I think it's interesting because there's a game in the story, but it's not about games. It's about porn and relationships, which is just like, oh yeah, this is a commentary on how porn may or may not damage relationships and how you can kind of get around it as long as you're honest about it.
Yeah, I mean,
it.
Going back to your honesty point, then it is about just how you communicate your partner in general.
Because mm-hmm.
like, there are going to be transgressions in like any kind of relationship, right? And yeah. the idea being that like, you have to be with someone who either can like get on board with that
mm-hmm.
or at least hear you out. So what I'm gleaning, so they're a straight couple. And he's having sex with his male friend
who's also straight.
And then, right, and then they meet in real life and they kiss.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we'll
yeah.
never see any of these people again?
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll never probably, see. Like,
it's like Law and Order.
It's an interconnected sort of universe, so there'll probably be like some sort of Easter egg like mm-hmm. in a future
okay.
episode.
Like they'll be in like a family photo in the
yeah.
back.
Because like, all of, that's Anthony Mackie.
All of these episodes, and he deals with video games. Like even San Junipero is sort of about, I mean, it is about a video game as
yeah.
well. I saw you mention on your tweet that also made you want to rewatch Brother to Brother, and I was like, I have not thought about Brother to Brother in like 10 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit.
Brother to Brother was like one of those movies where like me coming up knowing I'm like gay and like being closeted, like I only had like Queer as Folk to watch like on mm-hmm. Showtime, and that was like at my grandma's house on the weekends, and like it would be late at night, and I'm like mm-hmm. hoping that no one comes and I would have to switch the
yeah.
TV to the other channel mm-hmm. really quickly if someone came to check on me. But seeing Brother to Brother, I was just like, oh my God, like, I don't know. It was just like one of those movies where I'm just like, any sort of like representation, like just being like a black queer person, was huge. And
yeah.
like seeing Anthony Mackie, I was just like, oh my God. Like,
and so many gay movies, especially ones from the 2000s, are like the exact same type of like white gay guy. You know, like they're all exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you know that about gay movies, Caroline, but 90% of them suck.
No, I know. I actually do know that about gay movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I'm an ally.
Yeah, you're an
you
ally.
That.
I forgot you're an ally.
I'm an ally. Thank you. Pride.
You're Taylor Swift.
Okay, yeah, I am.
I'm kidding.
My
kidding.
Album is coming out later.
Set not talking about the sex. Would you play a fighting game?
No.
You could feel everything?
I don't like
Freaks
fighting
me
games.
Out.
I feel like I would play a game like that because I feel like I always chose like the female characters. I love
mm-hmm.
Princess Kitana. I love Sonya Blade. Like, I would love to be able to like throw a fan, kick like Chun-Li.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it.
I would like to see almost a further exploration of this game because
mm-hmm.
there was so much more into like the gender stuff too, where like the friend was always a woman. That was his thing. His
mm-hmm.
He always played female characters.
Okay.
And so, but like that's not really explored. It's more just like a way to make their in-game relationship
yeah.
heterosexual.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot they could have
yeah.
dove into.
But that's sort of Black Mirror's thing.
Even using Asian characters.
Yeah, Asian characters
that's
too.
That so could both have been explored
of the,
more.
So both of these like both of these black men are using specifically Asian characters every single time they play. So there was like all of this weird complicated like racial and like gender identity stuff throughout the entire episode. Like I said, I'm almost glad that it wasn't explored just because like you can't do everything in every episode.
Right.
But it does make me like it makes you think about the environment.
Yep.
And it makes you think, like, what are the implications of this?
Yeah.
What does this mean? And now we are going to leave science fiction and move into another sort of alternate reality. The one where Jennifer Aniston is a normal person.
And married to Adam Sandler.
We're going to talk about Murder Mystery.
Yes.
Which premiered last week on Netflix.
Yep.
It's a comedy about a murder.
Also marriage, though.
It's a comedy about marriage.
Yeah. Yes.
We're talking about marriage this episode.
Yeah.
We all watched Murder Mystery. Caroline, tell us what this movie is about in 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Okay, right now. Adam Sandler is a cop. He's a New York cop. He still talks like Adam Sandler in every other Adam Sandler movie. Mm-hmm. But now he's a cop and he's married to Jennifer Aniston, who's a hairdresser. And they've been married for 15 years. And essentially, you kind of open this movie by finding out that he like failed the detective test yet again.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to lie to his wife.
Right.
And be like, no, I'm a detective now. Which like seems like... Talk about plot holes. That could be probably Googled. So she's sort of like guilty. She's like, you know, remember like we had our plan to go to Europe for our honeymoon and we never went. And he's like, no, we're doing it. We're going tomorrow. They go to Europe. They run into this guy in first class. He's like, oh, don't go on your tour bus. Like, come with me to like my yacht mansion. And then it's one of those things where it's like literally the lights go out. Someone gets murdered. The lights go out again. Someone gets murdered. And non-detective Adam Sandler, who is a detective, according to his wife, kind of must solve
the murder mystery.
And luckily, don't sleep on Jennifer Aniston because she likes murder mystery books. So together they can do this. And they do.
They solve the crime.
They do.
They solve the crime. And
there's twists. There's turns.
Some more predictable than others.
Yeah.
Agatha Christie is shaking.
Yeah. Seriously.
It ends with the moment they showed them in that thing. And before they pulled out, I was like, they're on the Orient. I was like, damn it, they're on the Orient Express.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, part of me was like, God damn it. And part of me was like, I'd watch the second one.
I would too.
I'd watch them solve a murder on the Orient Express. Because I did. Did you watch the new Murder on the Orient Express movie? It sucks.
I fell asleep in the movie theater.
I didn't watch the second one, but I read the book.
It's funny that like that movie is like a big ass studio movie.
Yeah.
Big budget, huge stars. Like everything is like perfect special effects work. And it wasn't great. And then Murder Mystery was kind of comparatively, as if I know anything about the production cost, comparatively kind of low rent.
Yeah.
And I think it was more successful just because it was way more fun.
The thing is about Murder Mystery, well, first of all, when I went to look and see what people were saying, I stumbled across the Faniston community. So
that's what they call themselves?
Yeah, they're Fanistons.
Of course. How did I not know
that?
Of course they're Fanistons.
And it's like, I didn't know what I was walking into before I watched it, but I looked at all these tweets that were like, "Are Rachel Green? She did that." And I was like, oh, I'm super ready for this.
All the teens love Jennifer Aniston.
I mean, Friends is really having a resurgence. Like, my friend's son is 13 years old and like Instagram DM'd me to be like, oh my God, can you believe she got off the plane? I'm like, what year is it? What's happening? But so I like wasn't really sure what to expect because I stumbled into like the Stan community before.
And they all love it.
Yeah, they all love it. But the thing is like, I liked it, but I walked out of Game Night similarly being like, I hated it.
You didn't like Game Night?
Everyone loved Game Night but me. And then I realized maybe this just isn't, I either want like actual murder and like a movie that's going to scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't want any murder at all.
Okay.
But like funny, like gun scenes, like, freak me out a little.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It threw me a bit. But I tried to enjoy it for what it was, which was sort of in the genre of Game Night, right?
Like, yeah. Kooky, like...
Little kooky
like
murder.
Normal people find themselves in the middle of, like, a real problem.
Yes.
Yeah. Michael, are you a fan of Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston and both as a unit? Like, are you a big fan of the 2011 classic Just Go With It?
I am not fans
of... I've never even heard of it.
Either of those things. Like, I think I'm just more so of, like, a casual... Like, I'll view Jennifer Aniston projects, but I'm not, like, I stan her. Or same with Adam Sandler. Like, I will say that I appreciated his performance in this just because, like, I don't think I've really paid attention to anything since, like, Big Daddy and... Happy Gilmore, and yeah.
So like late 90s, yeah. early 2000s.
What was the one with Kathy Bates? Waterboy.
Waterboy.
Yeah, The Wedding Singer. Was
and there. I know that like in...
Oh my God, I love that you described Waterboy as the one with Kathy Bates. Sorry. That's so funny. No, that's like really good because I was like, oh right, she's in she's in The Waterboy. That's good.
And it's like, I do feel like his performance, it was more grounded in a way. Like it wasn't like this crazy sort of Adam Sandler. And I know that like he's played like more serious roles in like Punch Drunk Love, but like
and
to
Spanglish.
Me, this was like another sort of, and Spanglish too, but this was like another sort of departure where I was like, okay, like he seems like more of like a normal sort of person. And I really appreciate it.
Yeah. This was a nice hybrid between his like Spanglish roles and his like Wedding Singer roles.
And I think his thing is that he's talented, but sometimes it just seems like what he's doing is very lazy. Like he's not full. And when he's lazy, even if the movie is kind of stupid and murder mystery is stupid, it seems it's just like a nice performance because he's good. But you can tell, like, what was that movie, Mr. Deeds?
Yeah.
I hate that movie.
Yeah.
Dumb.
And it's like, but it's like sort of a very like, it seems like he's on autopilot. And well, he didn't really seem like he was on autopilot here, and neither did Jennifer Aniston.
Except in a few lines, like I said, he does this weird callback to other Adam Sandler characters where he's like, well, you didn't tell me that. Like, he does this, like,
the trembly thing.
Like,
that he
you
does,
told me that yesterday. But, like, I'm glad he didn't go into the Mr. Deeds where he's like, rah! Like, there's that whole voice thing that I didn't like in Happy Gilmore. I didn't like in Mr. Deeds.
He was just playing a Brooklyn detective.
Yeah.
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 He's from Brooklyn.
Right.
Yeah.
He was like, who's coming home? And also, Jennifer Aniston is a similar actor in that she plays strains of her other roles and every role that she gets.
Yes.
And Adam Sandler is the same. So together it was like, there was just like, the way they each said different lines was like, oh my gosh, that's that character. Mm-hmm. That's that character. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I was watching a lot of her in He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just the way she says things is just doesn't, it's like Drew Barrymore is the same way. It's like you're like, oh, that's Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not Audrey Spitz.
It's a very unique delivery. It's good.
Yeah, no, it's Jennifer Aniston. She's good.
A thing I like about Jennifer Aniston is that she's as convincing as in her, have you seen her Emirates? Her Emirates ads where she's like in, you know, 8 levels above first class and she's like, where's the shower? I need a shower in my plane. And they're like, the shower's right here. Like, they don't have a shower. And she's like, well, I need to fly Emirates because they have a shower.
I haven't seen that.
She's as good at playing like the person who cannot relate to a normal person as she is, I think, playing a normal person.
Okay.
She's weirdly believable for as like kind of glamorous and A-list as she is.
Mm-hmm.
She's believable as a normie, I think. I think it's like in Dumplin'.
Yeah.
And in Friends with Money, she's very believable as just like a normal.
Yeah, she
she's
never
the one
plays
money.
Like okay. the bombshell. She always just plays like, here's my friend. She's hotter than all of us, but we're still friends.
But she's relatable.
But she's relatable. She's very nice to me, and I go to all her birthday parties. But we all know she's hotter than the rest of us in this group. That's Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. So we all agree that she's like good at playing a normie.
Yeah.
A hot normie.
Just a regular gal.
Did we guess the end? How long before you knew who the killer was?
I did not know, but the movie was. So I liked the movie. I thought it was very fun. But I did find myself, as I was going through it, just being like, who is the killer? Who could it be? And I did not get it at all.
I think I was maybe a few minutes from the reveal that it was the Gemma Arterton character, the actress. But it was like kind of when the last clue was dropped. And also it was because my other guesses were wrong.
I also knew that there was a twist coming because they were all too happy with 17 minutes left in the movie.
Yeah.
Things were tying up too fast.
That's one thing about watching a movie at home versus watching in a theater that is
you
like
know
the,
when it's
you
a,
always
you
know
scroll.
How much is left.
Yeah.
You can see like and with Apple TV if you tap it softly and it tells you like the actual time that it ends.
Yep.
Where it's like this will be over at 10:12.
Yeah.
And you're like
something's gotta happen in these next 17 minutes.
Something's going on.
I thought the way that the other guy died at the end was like, I know it was just supposed to be camp and it was funny.
Luke Evans.
Yeah, I don't know names.
Gay.
Well,
Gaston?
Gaston, gay.
The one who, the end?
You know he's gay in real life?
No, I mean, I'm not, What? The one who got hit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one ever
Happy
knows.
Happy Pride.
Out gay man.
Really?
Out gay man, Luke Evans. Yes, Gaston.
Happy Pride,
Luke Happy
Evans.
Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, Luke Evans is gay, and he's always playing straight men.
Straight murderers.
I think we're done talking about murder mystery, which means we're done talking about everything, which means thank you for coming and being on this episode of I'm Obsessed With This. As always, you can call 754, call Bob, and share your current obsessions, and we might play them on a future episode. We will be back in 2 weeks to discuss, among other things, Ashley O. We're familiar with Ashley
on
O.
Roll.
On a roll, yes. Miley Cyrus's alter ego.
Right.
But thank you for being here, Michael and Caroline.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Support the BuzzFeed Union.